虽其所有相持别，莫不结于水中现。而水本自无分别，菩萨三昧已入世。这说这个四冰啊，在这个净水里都能啊映现出来，显现出来这个四冰像的影子。你或者是这一对冰啊拿着宝剑的，那么在水里就现出宝剑了。或者有一对冰拿着这个方天画戟的，在这个净水里啊就现出这个方天画戟。或者有这个冰啊拿着这个壶石的，拿这个剑，弓箭，在水里头啊就现出来这个拿弓箭的这种兵的影像。这个兵啊穿着铠甲啊保护他身体啊，和这个胄这个带着盔甲。车舆，这个车呀也就是车乘，在古来呀没有坦克车，没有这种的电单车啊，所以呀就用这个马来呀拉着这个车。这个兵啊就坐在那个车上啊，所以呀这个国家啊看能啊出多少辆兵车，这个叫兵车。有的出100辆的，有的出1000辆的，有的出10000辆的。所以呀大国就是啊出10000辆兵车，这叫万乘之国。士其君者必千乘之甲，千乘之国士其君者必百乘之甲。万取千焉，千取百焉。这个10000辆这个兵车，每一个兵车上啊都有这个4个兵，这4个兵啊向4方怎么是去作战的时候啊左右前后啊怎么来和对方来作战啊。比如一进拿着弓箭的人，一见着对方这个敌人来了，就射箭，用这个箭呢，弓箭啊射对方。用这方天画戟的呢啊接近对方敌人了，就用方天画戟去刺杀这个敌人。用宝剑呢就是啊白刃战了，那时候接近身了。白刃战就是又叫肉搏战。在宝剑也用不了，就在这个用拳头打了啊。所以在那个吊古战场文上说啊，白刃交兮宝刀者啊，两军除兮生死决。就说这个拿这个宝剑的白刃交这个来作战，站起来了，那个什么宝刀宝剑呢也会断了啊。两军这个我和敌人这个彼此啊这么去交战了。 这生死就决定了啊，或者我死了，或者对方敌人死了，这生死决。那么这种啊，四兵队，四兵啊，这个象，虽弃所有，象持别呀、啊。这个读书读的不明白的人呢，就读这个持字，就读差字，差别，嗯、啊，是不同的意思，啊，但是啊。这个字呢应该读持，持啊，吃别应该画一个这个去声的这个圈啊，去声这个持是这个声音呢是去的啊，读书读的少的人呢一定就会念成这个差别。这个字啊就应该读成一个持别，这个就是随其所有相持别，这个相的持别不同，莫不结于水中现。可是啊，所有的这个形象都在这个水里头现出来，而水本自无分别，在这个水的本体上来讲啊，它因为啊没有心，水本无心啊，所以它就没有分别。在水的本身呢没有分别，你这个是哪一种兵，那个是哪一种兵啊，没有分这些个分别。菩萨三昧已入世，这个菩萨呀所现的这个普遍放这个三昧呀，也是这个样子，和这个水里呀现出这个四兵相啊是一样的啊、一样的道理。大家跟想是怎么样的，可就说既可就答复，那要想等着想了然后再知道，那就太晚了。
You just have to speak it right out, answer his question immediately. If you have to sit around and think,
懂啊，等了想之后再知道对不对，那就是太晚了。不远很多很多，可以这么说，所以这就是啊，每一个人所见的不同，他所见的这样的，或者旁人另有看法，这各有各的这种智慧，深者就见深，浅者就见浅，你怎么样讲都可以的。
好的。
我们以前这有一个money meaning 的 Dhammas 的，现在这个 money meaning。不在这儿了，所以这个就讲一个也可以。还有一个，咱们这还有一个这个地形而已，这个法师，所以啊，这个地形而已法师现在也不在了，也没有那么多人找地形而已。Today I give you order. You like recite his order?
Today, the master is giving an order. Are you going to receive his order? Would you like to receive his order?
Okay.
我给你的额的叫你给我管的这个沙弥沙弥尼比丘比丘尼这都管着他们，看他们谁有毛病你就先告诉他们，然后再告诉我。他又会一吐。
You're supposed to oversee the fourfold assembly. You're supposed to be the you're supposed to just to watch, to take a look at all of them very closely and see whatever their shortcomings are, whatever their faults are, and pick them all out. So we're all the novices, both the men and women novices, and the bhikkhunis and the bhikkhus, and also for the laymen and laymen. Take a look at all of them and then.
或者有第四又看那个这个弟兄二姨对这个说的看出 everybody。
This is another story about Chula. When there was a temple and it was a special Dharma master there because he lectured the Avatamsaka, and most Dharma masters didn't want to lecture it because it was so long and they couldn't explain it very well. So they used shorter ones, shorter and easier ones. But this Dharma master, he would lecture the sutras, the Avatamsaka Sutra every night. And there was a Dharma master a ways away who was going to hold a chan session for a long time, longer than just 7 days. And all the monks at the temple wanted to go, so they asked the Dharma master who was lecturing the Avatamsaka if he could stop and let them go to the chan session, and he said yes, so he was going to stop for as long as the chan session went on. And they started walking and walking and walking, and then they decided, well, if we're going to be able to get a place to sit in there, we better send somebody up ahead to make reservations so that we can have a place to sit, because then there was a whole lot of monks in China, so like you might get 1,000 monks to come to a chan because they wouldn't have to work. They'd just have to sit in meditation and sit there, and they'd just go and they'd get their food and they'd be served tea, and they wouldn't have to get up and run around and do all their everyday things. So they picked Shula to go ahead, and they sent him ahead, and he got to a river, and he looked around, and it just happened that Shula didn't handle money, and he found a ferry, but the ferryman wouldn't let him across because he wouldn't pay the fare. No matter how hard he tried, the ferryman wouldn't let him across, and it was raining pretty hard, and he started walking along the bank to see if a tree had fallen across or if there was a narrow place. And so after a little bit, the rain started getting so hard that the river swelled up, and he couldn't tell what was the path and what was the deep water of the stream. And all of a sudden, plump, he was in the water. He stepped off a drop, and he went tumble down all the way down the stream. For 2 days and a night he was going down the stream, and all of a sudden a fisherman caught him in his net, and the fisherman thought, well, I've got a huge fish because this thing's heavy. And he pulled it up, and there was not only a man, but it was a monk. And they knew of a temple, the fisherman knew of a temple nearby, so he got one of the monks to come down and took Shulao up. Shulao was really sick from being bumped around in the cold rapids. And Shulao didn't stay there for much more than a night or so, and he wanted to go get the reservation, so he just left. And when he got to the temple, the abbot of the temple wanted to sit in the sit too, and he asked Shulao if, when Shulao made the reservations for all the monks, The abbot thought, well, I'll get this man to take my place for however long this Chan was. And so he asked Xu Lao, and Xu Lao said no. And the abbot got so mad because he wouldn't do what the abbot of that temple said, and he had just come there. He got so mad that he beat him with the incense board, and he had almost died in the stream. And he was real sick inside, and the abbot beat him with the incense board in front of all the monks. But anyway, he started sitting in the chan, and whenever he would go to the bathroom, he would urinate blood, or he would spit up blood because his insides were so messed up from being tumble-bumbled down the stream. And after about a week of that, he just sat and he sat and he sat, no matter how hard the pain was. After about a week of that, the monk of the other temple came to make offerings, because the monks and whoever made offerings during a sit or something like that would get a lot of merit and virtue. So the monk came to give some offerings, and when he got there, he asked how Xu Lao was, and all the other monks and everybody who was sitting were so startled because he was asking him how he was, and they didn't think anything had happened to him because Xu Lao hadn't told him, because he didn't want all the people to feel sorry for him. And then they asked Xu Lao what happened, and Xu Lao wouldn't tell him, but the monk said, this man has been rolling in tumbling down a stream for 2 days and a night in the cold rapids, and he's probably really sick. And when all the monks heard this, they were really sorry for how bad they had treated him. And the abbot, when he heard that, he was really sad because he beat him with the incense board. And usually in the chan, you'd have to walk around with the incense board and hit somebody if they were starting to fall asleep or something. And usually all the monks would take turns for that. But what they did was they didn't make Xu Lao do anything. They just let him sit and sit and sit. So he didn't have to be wayno, or he didn't have to serve tea. And after a little while, the tea boy came around one day, and he got to Xu Lao, and he got startled by something, or his mind wandered off, but he spilled some tea on Xu Lao's hand, and Xu Lao dropped his cup, and when the cup hit the floor and shattered, Xu Lao was enlightened just by the shattering of the cup and the hot tea on his hand.
海中有神明善音其言普顺海众生所有语言皆变了令彼切喜欢悦彼神具有贪慧痴 又能善解一切因况普总是自在力而不能令众欢喜 这是啊, 举出这海神有这一种总持妙音德这个海中有神海中有一位神这个神的名字就叫善音海神这一位善音海神呢他这个音声能普顺海众生 所有的像大海那么多的众生的音声，他都啊能明了。所有语言皆变了，这个所有的像海那么多的众生，无量无边那么多的众生的音声语言，他都能啊明白，嗯，能啊辨别明白。这个辩论的辩呢，应该是个错字，应该是辨别的那个辨。这个里边呢，用个利字，不是啊用言字。所有的语言呢皆变了，那他都能啊明了。那令彼一切喜欢喜悦，令啊所有的一切海那么多的众生啊都生出一种欢喜心。彼神具有贪慧痴，这个神呢他并没有断贪嗔痴，他还呀、啊这个贪嗔痴他还呀、啊、都跟着他啊，他具有贪嗔痴啊，没有把贪嗔痴断了。又能善解一切因，他尚且能啊善于明了辨别一切的音声语言，都能辨别啊。况夫总持自在力，况且呀、啊、由这个总持总一切法持无量意啊这种的自在神力，而不能令众欢喜啊，他呀 啊怎么不会能令啊这个一切众生生欢喜心呢？他一定能会能令啊众生生出一种皆大欢喜的心。
One of the reasons why the sutra begins with "Thus I have heard." Well, one day the Buddha told the whole assembly, Shakyamuni Buddha told the whole assembly that he was going to enter Nirvana that night. And all of a sudden, Ananda started crying his eyes out. He started crying and crying and crying and crying. And he kept crying, "The Buddha's going to enter Nirvana tonight! What are we going to do?" And so Aniruddha came, the master of the heavenly eye. And he came and he said to Ananda, who was still crying and he was real nervous, he said very calmly, "We're going to have to ask 4 questions." And Aniruddha said, "Well, the Buddha's going to enter Nirvana tonight! What are we going to do with 4 questions?" And Aniruddha said, "The first question is, when the Buddha was in the world, the sutras always started with what the Buddha said they would start with. But now that the Buddha's gone and somebody else is going to have to speak the sutras, how are we going to start the sutras?" And the next one is, "When the Buddha was in the world, we lived with him. And we lived wherever he lived. And now that the Buddha's going to enter Nirvana, where are we going to live? What are we going to do to live?" And the third question was, "When the Buddha was in the world, he was our leader. And now who are we going to have as our leader now that the Buddha's going to enter Nirvana?" And the fourth question is, "The Buddha, when he was in the world, he took care of bad-natured bhikshus. And how are we going to take care of bad-natured bhikshus when the Buddha is in the world. And a bad-natured bhikshu is when you're sitting, he's walking around the room chanting. And when you're walking around the room chanting, he's sitting. Or when you're reciting sutras, he's bowing to the Buddha. And when you're bowing to the Buddha, he's reciting sutras. That's a bad-natured bhikshu. So, Ananda said in the first question, "Yes, right." And the second question said, "Yes, you're right." Third question said, "Very seriously, you're right." So that's the last question too, because he just got his nerve up to think, well, if the Buddha's going to earn nirvana, that's good for the Buddha, but it's going to be hard on him. And so he went to where the Buddha was, and the Buddha was just ready to enter samadhi. And then he was going to enter nirvana. But Ananda came just at the right time and said to the Buddha, "I've got four questions to ask you." And the Buddha said, "Okay." And he said, "The first one is, when you were in the world, you just started the sutras with what you wanted. But now what are we going to start the sutras with?" And the Buddha said, "We should start the sutras with 'Thus I have heard,' because you have heard the sutras." And then he appointed Ananda the head of making the sutras, reciting the sutras, propagating them. Because Ananda had such a good memory, he could remember every word that the Buddha said in the sutras. And then Ananda asked him, "Where are we going to live?" And the Buddha said, "You're going to live in the four applications of mindfulness." And the first application of mindfulness is realizing that your body is impure, always knowing that, being mindful of that. And the second one is that your feelings is just your suffering. And the third one is that, no, wait a second.
Mind on the top. What is it? Mind. And Dham. Body, reside, mind, and Dham.
Yeah. I know that. That's what you say. The mind is impermanent, like you can think about something, but then all of a sudden you're thinking about something else. And dharmas are without self, so they're empty. And that's where the Buddha told them to live. And then Ananda said, "And what are we going to take as our leader? Who are we going to take as our leader? Is it going to be the eldest, the middle-aged one, or I don't want to be the leader, Buddha." Because Ananda was the youngest one. But Shakyamuni Buddha said, "You'll take the precepts as your leader." And then the last question Ananda asked, and he said, "Buddha, what are we going to do with the bad-natured bhikshus? How are we going to take care of them? Because you used to just take care of them, and then they'd listen to the Dharma, and they never used to listen to the Dharma. They'd always be tramping around the room while the Dharma was being spoken or doing something completely different." And the Buddha said that you should just have patience with them and ignore them, and they'll go away, or they'll sit and they'll listen to the Dharma. But after the questions were answered, the Buddha entered Nirvana, and when they were putting the sutras together, the arhats were, they only let four stage arhats into the room where they were compiling the sutras. And they were just putting all their notes together as the sutra. And Ananda was in the fourth stage arhat yet. He was by the second stage arhat. And they wouldn't let him into the room. And he would beat on the door and say, "But the Buddha put me in the head of being compiling the sutras." And they'd say, "Well, you're not a fourth stage arhat yet, so you can't come in the room." And Ananda got so nervous that, click, he was a fourth stage arhat. He just certified to it. And he banged on the door and said, "Now I'm a fourth stage arhat. Open the door and let me in." And they said, "If you're a fourth stage arhat, we don't have to open the door for you." And then he realized that he could walk right through the door. So he just walked right through the door, and he got up on the high seat, and all of a sudden he had all the 32 marks of the Buddha, except one exception. He was 3 inches shorter. And there were three doubts that the assembly had. The first one was it a Buddha from another world, another world system? Or had Shakyamuni Buddha not entered Nirvana? Or was it that Ananda had turned into a Buddha? But when Ananda started the sutra with, "Thus I have heard," they knew that it was Ananda, because if he was a Buddha, he wouldn't start the sutra with, "Thus I have heard." That's all.
有一妇人明辩才， 父母求天而得生， 要有离恶若真实， 入彼圣身中生妙变。 有一妇人名辩才， 这一首偈颂是这个女寿辩才语，这个妇女呀能给这个人的辩才。所以说有一妇人，这个妇人呢， 就是结婚之后的女人，就叫妇人。她的名字叫辩才，她善于辩论，能有辩才无碍。不单她有辩才， 而且他也能把他这个辩才呀给旁人。那么他呀怎么样生出来的呢？是他父亲母亲呢求天求这个梵天而生的 这个女孩子而得生，要有离恶乐真实。假设要有人呢愿意离开这个一切恶啊，或者呀愿意 脱离这个三恶道，乐真实，欢喜呀，修道，求真实法，入彼身中生妙变。那么这个妇人呢，能可以 到这个离阿乐真实这个人的身上， 他也就生妙变了。这个入啊，这个入就是他能接近他，不是一定啊。这个妇人入到这个乐真实的这个人身里边去啊，就是啊能接近他啊，他也就能啊生出这个妙变来。就是这个愚痴的人也会有了智慧啊。这个妇人本来是一个普通的人，那么他都有这种的力量来呀，授给人一种的法。这种法呀能利益众生啊，这个生妙变也就是得到说法立生的这种利益。别有贪欲嗔恚痴，又能随行于辩才，何况菩萨具智慧而不能于众生异。这个比字比有就是说的这个妇人，前边说呀绕有离恶乐真实，入彼身中生妙变，要能啊想离想断一切恶，或者脱离三恶道，求这个真实法的这个人，那么接近这个妇人呢或者和他同行同坐那么就能生一种妙变不可思议的这个妙变才。比这个比呀、就说的这个妇人了啊。前边那个比入彼身中啊生妙变，这个比呀 就是啊那个离恶的那个人，乐真实的那个人这一个比呀、就是说的那个妇人。彼有贪欲嗔恚痴，说这个妇人呢他没有断欲，他还是一个凡夫啊。前面为什么说他是个凡夫呢？就因为他有贪欲嗔恚痴，他就啊贪嗔痴一点都没熄灭啊，贪而无厌，欲也是有这个欲念啊，这个欲就是隐喻的念，这个贪也就是贪隐喻的念，嗔恚，嗔就是啊很大的脾气，痴就是愚痴，很大的无明。他这个贪嗔痴都没有断，犹能随行于辩才，他可以呀、他能有这样这种的本领啊，随着他行啊回转啊接近他，他都能给他这个无碍的辩才，能啊授给他无碍的辩才啊。何况菩萨具智慧，何况且这个行菩萨道利众生的菩萨具足大的智慧，具足大的悲心而不能与众生异，他还不能给众生利益吗？他一定会给众生的利益，因为啊他是有智慧的，他也断了贪嗔痴了，所以他一定会给众生的利益啊，会饶益众生 利益众生啊，说法利益一切众生的。譬如还施之还法，能现种种无量事，须臾视作日月岁，诚意丰饶大安乐，还施具有贪慧持，又能还利越世间，况夫禅定解脱力而不能令众欢喜，譬如还施，就是啊，这幻化的施，也就是现在叫魔术施，啊，也就啊，好像那个催眠术的施，会催眠术，这幻化、魔术、催眠术这种的，这种的施，知幻法。他知道啊的法是什么呢？虚幻不实在的，是假的，是虚妄不实的。但是啊，一般人看着呢还是真实的一样，所以他能现种种无量事，他以这个幻术啊，啊，能现出啊种种不可思议的这个事情啊，须臾视作日月岁，在很短的时间，须臾啊就是很短的时间，很短很短的一个时间，视作日月岁，那么他能把这个很短的时间变成很长的时间，或者几天，或者几个月，或者几十岁，就在这个须臾之间，它就能啊变化出的这个样子，啊，好像它能叫你睡觉，即可睡觉，睡觉就做个梦，这个梦啊只在呀、一两秒钟的时间啊，你就觉得呀、活了几十岁或者几百岁啊，在这个梦里头能啊叫你这样有这样的感觉，甚至于你没有睡觉他也能叫你有这样的感觉，所以叫幻术师，诚意丰饶大安乐，或者啊在做梦的时候又发财了啊，有几个大城市都是自己的财产，丰饶，非常的有钱啊，大安乐，很安乐的。还施具有贪慧持，这个还术师啊，他也是具足有这个贪慧持、贪嗔持，犹能还利越世间，他呀尚且能以用这个虚幻不实的这种方法力量来呀令世间人欢喜，况夫禅定解脱力，况且呀用这个菩萨行菩萨道的人，他有禅定又有解脱的力量，而不能令众欢喜，他不能使令一切众生生欢喜心吗？哎，他决定能有这种的能力，令这个以世间一切的众生啊都生大皆大欢喜。还有什么问题没有？
没有。 Yasher Ibn Jenny, they eat the Swayman food, Jadaman, Hashan, Great Elf. They eat a woman, show data Luna, data Swayman to Luna.
现在讲这个是讲的比喻，讲他一个那么样子，一个凡夫还能啊令人迷，不是说他那个催眠术是怎么样子，能不能催眠的问题，这个现在没有讲这个，他能不能催眠那是那个被催的和那个催眠的他们两个人的问题。俺们不研究那个的，俺们现在研究是他那么骗人还能骗，把人骗得很欢喜，况且菩萨他不是骗人，他有真实的智慧，有真实的禅定解脱的力量来教化众生，所以啊他能令众生啊一定能令众生欢喜的，是研究这个问题，不俺们他不要把题目认错了，俺们现在研究经典的道理，他研究催眠术上去了，这个催眠术现在是在这是一种比喻，是一种附属品，他真的假的俺根本就不管他。这个就是魔来引诱他，啊，叫他，随他这个，随他这个虚妄的境界，这个魔啊，你不要，这个佛呀，退位了，什么他都做，他可以去做啊，蚊虫啊，蚂蚁呀、啊，又可以做这个魔王啊，什么他都做的，这个佛。他不愿意做佛的时候，他愿意去做种种的这个境界，这都是给众生说法啊，令众生看你认识不认识，这个很难讲的清楚给你听的啊。那个菩萨他就没有成佛，但是他变化佛的样子可以的，无论他就已经成佛没有成佛他都可以变化的啊，这是一种变化，是暂时的，它不是真的，那个变化呢，你不能就认为是真的，
在慈心寺打波州期那个，他一天到晚就打妄想，想见佛见佛，在这个打波州期，他就打这个见佛的妄想，所以那个那个魔呀，就我就是佛，你认识吗？我就是佛，啊，他就变一个佛的样子，这都不出奇的。你要知道这个天地间呢，不可思议这种的事情多的不知多少，你没有法子完全都明白，除非你开悟了，你开悟了，那照了一切诸法实相，什么法你也不要想，也不要研究，没有问题的，完全没有问题啊，知识就这么一照就了了啊。你没有到这个境界，和你怎么样说你也不懂的，你一天到晚就是打妄想，贪呢嗔呢痴啊，这个怎么样也不明白，不会明白这个境界的，一定要把这贪嗔痴没有了啊，才会明白这种境界。那么至于你有贪嗔痴不错，也可以有的时候利益众生，但是不是究竟法。这个道理，这个不是什么，给他们翻译翻译给他们听听。会谁叫他看里边的东西来的？他怎么说这个是还俗师？
他说有一个人。
他见到这个人没
有？
他所说的话你要相信，那你就是快下地狱喽。以他那么个无知识的人，他会有这么个样境界？他的师父现在活着呢，是死了？那上天了。Yes, this color a little bit different. No Buddha, this perfect.
你无论什么事情稍微差一点，那里边就有了问题了。
这丝毫就扭着千里。你也没有见着他，你就听他那么吹。那个在这儿来做我母亲那个，你看他你看那个样子会上天。
哎呀，你呀真是学佛法学了这么久，你看看那个楞严经那五十种阴魔那是什么啊，你怎么可以听这个呢？
About assurance, because tonight's lecture in the sutra, they have something about assurance in gods. And I want to save Shrifu the trouble of telling a story about it, so I'll tell a story about it. Chakra, the king of heaven, which is God, he liked to go to sutra lectures, and one day when he was going to a sutra lecture, he saw this beautiful woman. But before I tell you about what she is, I have to tell you something about Asura's. An Asura doesn't drink wine, and it never will get wine, because people see it and they see that it has a big temper, and they won't give it wine because they think it'll go crazy.And then it'll start beating on people and beating them up. And the other thing is, they're ugly. They're very ugly. Except, only the men are ugly. Like, the men might have one eye on their forehead up here and one down here and their mouth going where their nose should go and their nose going where their mouth should go. So they look really ugly and their faces all scrunched together.And they're really ugly. But the exact opposite the women are really beautiful. And the men, they have a big temper on the outside, like they always want to kill each other and beat each other up and tear each other to pieces. But the women, they have their temper inside. They're always jealous and obstructed. So when Chakra met this, it was the daughter of the king of the Asuras, and she was very beautiful because her father was in such a high position, and he fell in love with her immediately because he still has desires. He hasn't cut off his desires yet, and he wanted to marry her even though he knew she was an Asura, but he wanted to marry her anyway. So it was arranged that they would get married. And the day of their wedding, Chakra decided, well, I'll send out all my troops to go and welcome my father-in-law to come to the wedding. But when the father-in-law, who was an Asura and was always doubting people and always wanting to make war, he saw all these troops, he thought, uh-oh, Chakra's sending all his troops to attack me. What a fine way to greet his new father-in-law. And ever since then, he had held a grudge against him. And when Chakra married the Asura lady, he would be bugged all day, and she would nag him, and she would really make him feel bad. And so there was only one time that he could get away from her. It was at night when he went to the sutra lectures. And he kept going to the sutra lectures, but after a little while, the wife started really getting jealous because he was going away from home every night. He would go away from home and then he'd come back in the morning, or he'd come back late that night. And it just kept going on and going on, and finally one day she said, can I come with you to wherever you're going? And Chakra told her it was the sutra lectures, but she wouldn't believe him. She thought he was going out with another woman. So Chakra said no, because she was an Asura, so she'd probably cause a whole lot of trouble at the sutra lecture. And she got really mad. And she had some spiritual powers, and if she put her mind to it, she could make herself invisible. So she made herself invisible, and when Chakra went down to the sutra lecture in his castle, she slipped in the door right behind him and hid in the dark part of the castle. And then when they got down to where the sutra lectures were held, she changed herself so that she could be seen. And Chakra said, I thought I told you to stay up there. I told you you were going to cause a whole lot of trouble at the sutra lecture. And she said, well, I came anyway. So they got there, and Chakra just went and he sat down. But it just happened to be that he sat down between two lay women. And the Asura woman thought, well, so that's what he does. He comes down here to the sutra lectures, and he sits between women, and he looks at them, and he stares at them, and he doesn't listen to the sutra at all. He just sits there and looks at the women. And that isn't at all what it was. It was just that he happened to sit down there. And then she went right up to her father. And her father was still holding the grudge against Chakra. So when the father heard that Chakra was going out with other women and making his daughter feel bad, and they'd only been married a couple days, and then that made him really mad. So he sent out all his troops, every last little man. And when they got out to battlefield, Chakra thought, uh-oh, I'm going to have to send out all my troops, too. So they sent out all their troops, and they fought, and they fought, and they fought, and they fought. But since the Asuras weren't good, they always had bad thoughts, and they didn't have any virtue, they couldn't win. And the gods couldn't win over the Asuras either, because they were so powerful. And so it just kept going on and going on and going on. And finally, Chakra went to the Buddha about it. And the Buddha said, well, And he went and he got a piece of his robe for each man in the army. And he said, you take these pieces of robe and you give them to each man in the army. And you tell them to recite Mahaprajnaparamita, which will give them great wisdom. And so Chakra went and gave each one of his men a piece of the Buddha's robe, one of his robes, and told them to recite Mahaprajnaparamita when they went out to battle. So when they went out to battle, they were all singing Mahaprajnaparamita, and the whole battlefield lit up with Mahaprajnaparamita, and the Asuras couldn't win no matter how hard they tried. They couldn't win. And that's how it went, because gods could never be beaten by the Asuras because the Asuras didn't have any virtue. And that was a story where the Buddha had to help the gods to win, or else they would have just kept fighting forever.